Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, January 6th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 53 in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're reading the last paragraph, paragraph 4, which begins with "That was natural" and ends with "That faith had been involved all the time." Today's readers are Cheryl A. D. for the 12 Steps, Audrey M. P. for the 12 Traditions, Tamara C. is our first reader today, Reggie O. Is on page 64, and Robin P. is our backup person for today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, January 5th is 19826. That's 19,826. And the reference number for this morning's 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meet, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is for Friday, January 6th is 19828. That's 19828. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There's no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll ask Cheryl A.D. to read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. And I'll now ask Audrey M.T. to read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, and thank you, Elaine. Audrey M.P. from Southern California, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on, in the chapter We Agnostics, on page 54, on page 53, reading paragraph 4, the last paragraph. And I will now ask Tamara C. to please read for us.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. from Missouri. I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. That was natural, but let us think a little more closely. Without knowing it, had we not been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith? Or did we not believe in our own reasoning? Did we not have confidence in our ability to think? What was that but a sort of faith? Yes, we had been faithful, abjectly faithful, to the God of reason. So in one way or another, we discovered that faith had been involved all the time. And it starts out, that was natural, and it's talking about what was in the last paragraph, leaning too heavily on reason. That was natural for me. So faithful to the God of reason. Did I not believe in my own reasoning? Did I not have confidence in my ability to think? Well, my experience is that actually deep down, I had this fear that I wasn't smart enough, that I would not be able to figure life out, but I didn't know I had an alternative, and so I kept striving to do so. I kept trying to summon enough faith in myself, and like Bill, I wanted to prove to the world that I was important. And so when I went through the steps and had a spiritual awakening, I was shown this better way, an alternative. And I was shown that coming to believe in a higher power is actually how I believe in myself, because I believe my higher power is here with me and for me, and is able to do for me what I need and make me enough. Then I can believe in myself in a way that I never did before. And I get to practice this new faith each day, all throughout the day. I watch for fear and resentment, and I let it show me that I'm once again relying on my own ability to think and reason, I'm putting my faith in my own reasoning. I'm hustling for my worthiness, and I get to notice it and allow my higher power to gently return me to the sanity of God reliance. Because when I have faith in my ability to think my way to a solution for life, which is where I turn to often, it's a dangerous place. It will lead me to the food. And the spiritual action that I take every day keeps me returning to the safe shore of faith that God is for me and God has me. And it's a miracle for me that it has been 3.5 years since my reasoning told me that I could eat compulsively, and it drove me to that place. And the miracle is that I stay so deep in the spiritual action that I break that cycle and don't have to go to the food today. And I love telling newcomers or those still suffering that, believe me, if this miracle can happen for me, then it's there for you too. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Tamara C. Great kickoff today. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to approximately 3 minutes in order that others might have an opportunity to share their experience too. So if you have not shared in the last two days of meetings, then and you'd like to share on this, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Kathy B. from Oklahoma.
Kathy
Annette
B.
M.
Annette M. Anybody else?
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Patricia P.
Patricia P. Okay, well, let's get started with this group. We've got Kathy B., Annette M., Robin P., and Patricia P. So if you're not Kathy B., please press star 1 to mute your phone. We're getting a little feedback on the line. Thank you.
All right, then. Good morning. This is Kathy B. I am a compulsive overeater from Oklahoma. And when I read this paragraph, it was telling me that I did have faith all along, and my faith was in my own reasoning and my own thinking, but my own reasoning and my own thinking didn't work. I was in the food. I was unable to put the food down, and my life was very unmanageable. No matter how hard I tried to fix myself, it just didn't work. I needed a power greater than myself. So when I came into the rooms, and it was through the working of the 12 steps that I did find a power greater than myself. And I learned to trust and rely on this power and allow him to run the show. And when I surrender every day and I work the steps, my life does become manageable. And I don't need the food for ease and comfort. I have also been given neutrality around the food, and I am very grateful for all the gifts of this program. Thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy B. Annette M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Robin P. Please share with us, Annette M. Star 1 to unmute. Annette?
Hi there. I just needed to get unmuted. I'm Annette M. from Toronto, Canada. Gratefully recovered. I realized that when I could reason and justify my context for living, I felt I had a purpose. So And I convinced everybody around me, and they validated me for this mission that I was on. And then it got me to a certain point, and then I realized at the final, once I reached the what I thought was where I needed to be, I realized it wasn't what I hoped for. And, you know, it was only when, you know, and I realized that that was my faith, you know, in the reasoning, in the justifying, in the analyzing, the therapy, the, you know, and I don't ever rule out therapy. It's very crucial if when necessary. I just find that my mind thinking out and talking out would always, it has sent me in a loop, and it helped me survive for the time that I was in that loop, and it got me to where I'm at. And, you know, for that, in some ways, you know, I'm grateful, because I realized that I couldn't have gotten here if I didn't go there. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Annette M. Robin P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Patricia P.
Hi, good morning. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I am in Costa Rica, thank God. So I am so grateful to be on this meeting, and thank you, Elaine, and everyone else who does service here. It means so much to me. So, you know, I really believed myself. Like, I thought, I was raised a devout atheist. My dad is a devout atheist. He's 95. He's still a devout atheist. And, you know, I just reasoned that he was right. I just always believed myself. And I always had this, you know, if I thought it, then it must be true. And my God was the God of food. And that was my, I had faith in my God of food. In the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. And it's still, I still believe that this day I could handle it. This day would be different for no apparent reason. And this day I would be able to control my eating or just starve myself or whatever I was doing at the time. And, you know, I'm so grateful. Because it was such an unreasonable God and such a disappointing, dark spirit. It just was trying to fill a God hole. And the only thing that has filled that God hole for me is God and this recovery. And I'm so grateful. You know, wow. Because this is a God that works. I don't have hangovers from meditating. I don't have, you know, hangovers, despair, wanting to die because I work my program or I'm on this meeting. I feel the opposite. I really, really am living the life beyond my wildest dreams. And, you know, I'm looking at the ocean in front of me and then the mountains to my right and living in this beautiful place, having just gone through 27 cities in Europe abstinently. And wow. In 3 months, and it's all God and this program and having a God squad and my sponsor. I felt like my sponsor was with us every step of this trip, and all of my God squad and my friends who I could call at a moment, do 10 steps, and they did it with me. It's just like such a wee recovery. I'm so grateful that I was wrong. God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent weekend. Thanks so much, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Okay, Patricia P. is up next. And after Patricia, we're going to take another lineup on page 53, paragraph 4, last paragraph that begins with, that was natural, and ends with, faith had been involved all the time. Please share with us, Patricia P.
Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Okay. I wanted to share on the part that says, did we not believe in our own reasoning? Did we not have confidence in our ability to think? So it turns out the God of reason is what I had for many years going in and out of OA. And so I found out that I needed a higher power, higher than the God of reason, and I needed to work the steps to find that. That's all I need to share for now. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Patricia P. Thanks for sharing. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Amelia H.
Amelia H.
Reva K.
Reva K.
Mary Ellen Smith. And
Mary
Ellen F.
Mary Ellen F. Was that F or S?
F like in Sam.
S like in Sam. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Room for some more. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Natalie S.
Natalie S. Okay. So we've got Mo H, Amelia H, Reva K, Mary Ellen S, and Natalie S. Room for one or two more. Anybody else want to get on the lineup?
Beth P from Hawaii.
Beth P from Hawaii. Okay, well, let's go with this. Mo H, you're up first, and you'll be followed by Amelia H. Please share with us, Mo.
Good morning, Elaine. Happy New Year to all on the line. Welcome to the newcomers. My name is Mo H, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. So yesterday when we were reading that paragraph there, reason was in there, I don't know, about three or four times. And I asked my sponsor, I said, why is it a capital R? Why do they have it a capital R? Whenever I thought it was capitalized, it meant God. And my sponsor said that it was capital R to bring our attention to it. But also, yes, it is God, that I had made reason my God. I had, I was using reason as a crutch. And I needed to let go of the crutch of reason and trust in the crutch of faith. But in today's reading, we have reason in there again and faith in there again. And, you know, I was taught to think and to reason and to work through things on my own. God wasn't brought into, you know, even though God was part of our family and our life and we went to church and all of that, I don't remember using God in my daily activities and in my daily thinking. And I'll tell you, since I came into this room and especially being on Vision, I'm learning that, you know, I bring God into everything, everything. If I'm, you know, if I'm struggling with what to do next, you know, hey, God, you know, this is what's on my list. You know, what's your will for me? And then the other day, you know, I had an entire day planned. I call it a pajama day. I had been gone for 11 days and I just needed a pajama day. And my granddaughter called. Texted and said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm having a pajama day. And she said, hey, can I come over? And she lives 2 hours away. She had left some stuff at her mom's. And, you know, I said yes, because that was God's will for me. Not, you know, not what I really wanted to do is to take a shower and get dressed. But we had a wonderful visit. And when I let God enter into my life, God works, helps me work through my problems. And, you know, and especially with the food issue, you know, now I have neutrality around the food, which is just a wonderful thing. But before that, I needed God's guiding hand to help me with this. I could not do this program without having a higher power to lean on. And all of you some days are the higher power for me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, we have Amelia H. up next, and she'll be followed by Reva K. Please share with us, Amelia.
Good morning, everybody. This is Amelia H. from New Hampshire, gratefully recovered. And the line that really sticks for me this morning is, did we not have confidence in our ability to think? My parents, like so many of our parents, did the very best they could, and I was born somebody who could self-soothe and was happy to play by myself. And so my parents just kind of let me do my own thing, and then along came my brother, who demanded by his needs a lot more attention than I ever did in that way. And my poor mother at one point shared with me that, I don't know, maybe at the age of 3 or 4, she was so overwhelmed, and I was trying to get her attention as well, and she basically shouted at me, "I don't care how young you are, you need to learn to take care of yourself." And so I did. I took that to heart, and I became as self-sufficient as possible, seeking to follow my intuition and my reason and my thinking, and by God's infinite grace and mercy, have been able to, you know, stumble my way along to this point. But it was really, truly God's guidance into this point in my life and this year that I don't think it could have happened any other way, that I wouldn't have been ready to let go of that God of reason until now. And now I am so infinitely grateful to finally let that go, to let that charge from my mother go, and instead to take God's will into my heart and soul and follow that instead, now that I don't have to be self-sufficient, that in fact doing so gets me in all kinds of trouble. And so I'm just deeply, deeply grateful to have asked God and allowed God to remove that burden, that particular burden from me, and to finally be in a space of growing trust and reliance on God and relationship as well. So that is all I will share this morning, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amelia H. Rita K., you're up next, followed by Mary Ellen S.
Thank you. This is Rita K. from Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you for being here and for everyone who is doing service on this call. I really appreciate everyone being here. I'll lead with that because I am really struggling, and I'm just becoming aware that, like many of us, I was raised with the God of reason. And that's it. I was not raised with God. God was not talked about. Nothing negative, God wasn't in our life. I turned to God when I was a child. I would write in my diary, now called, I guess, a journal, and I always felt connected to God. God was my best friend. I was a lonely kid. And without realizing it, I dominated my whole life with thinking my way through and believing that I did believe in God. But I have come to realize that I never let go of the God of reason, and that dominates my life, and that is why I'm struggling. I'm not sure exactly how to let go of this God of reason. It's not that I don't consciously want to. I guess I just don't have the faith that I can let go and fall back. I don't know that process. It's unfamiliar to me. This is also the most I've ever shared in any meeting. It is so difficult for me to talk about this subject. Any other subject, I'm chatty Kathy. But this subject is really painful because I am still struggling. I am not abstinent, entirely abstinent anyway. And I'm struggling with the program, thinking I'm doing it wrong. And I've been told I'm exactly where I need to be. But I'm unhappy being where I need to be. I don't have that peace and serenity and gratefulness that many others do, and I'm envious. I want it, but I'm really struggling with being alone, with figuring all this out. So anyway, thank you for being there and for having such an incredible program. I really appreciate all of you. Again, this is Reva Kay from Southern California. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks for your honest share, Reva. It's very helpful. And there's lots of support here for you and everybody on the line. So Mary Ellen S., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Natalie S. Thank you.
I am Mary Ellen S. from Cold, North Dakota. And this program has just been awesome for me. I've only been in it for a month. And like Kathy, I can relate to her so very, very much. it's really hard. I've known God all my life. In the last 40 years, he has become my personal savior. So I trust in him, and I always cry out, God, help me, God, help me. And he says, but you got to help yourself too. So God will help us, but we have a lot of work to do, and that's what I feel I have to do in this program. And I've been trying so hard. Yesterday, I went to a party, and all they served was cake. And I bought a delicious cake, and I didn't even taste it. I mean, I patted myself on the back. I just had coffee. Now, that's a miracle, because I usually taste all the cake. So I'm struggling, but I so thank God for my sponsor. I thank God for each one of you. And I thank the sponsors that have called me. It has just been wonderful to hear different stories. And I hope this program never quits, because I'm going to listen to it. And I know and I believe it's going to help me. And someday I'm going to say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm looking for that so very, very much. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ellen S. Natalie S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Beth P.
Hi, thank you. This is Natalie S. calling from Arizona. And, you know, in the last 3 days, I've been listening to the different readings, and I am currently in step four and working with my sponsor to get through that. And the only reason I want to mention that is, you know, one, because I'm not recovered yet. I'm still working on it. But one of the things that I think is so beautiful about the readings between reason and God, choosing a God of a higher power, or God or a higher power, I apologize, is that I feel like this community and the sponsor and the steps have kind of given me a cocoon, a safe place where I can go and explore all of my defects and learn to get in touch with that higher power. And I remember when my children were young and I would read to them, ironically, the Hungry Caterpillar. And if you've ever read that story, it just talks about the life cycle of a caterpillar. And, you know, they go and they eat and they eat and they eat. And then they're kind of surrounded by this silk. And I just see this community as being that silk and that soft and gentle landing place. And, you know, with the bad habits that I've had around eating disorders and food behaviors related to over-exercising and anorexia, it's been just such a comforting place to know that, one, I'm not like a freak, and two, that there's people that really understand that I really can call. And so as I learn to rely on my higher power rather than my own reason, I'm just grateful for that cocoon of love and fellowship. And so thank you so much. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Natalie S. We have Beth P. up next, and then we'll have time for a couple of more shares on page 53, paragraph 4, which begins with, that was natural, and ends with, that faith had been involved all the time. So, Beth P., please share with us.
Thank you so much. This is Beth P. calling in from Hawaii, and I am a compulsive overeater. And, yes, my God of reason was, you know, just the way I would interpret the world with my mind, the way I would interpret what it meant to me, how I perceived reality, a compilation of how I was raised, my education, my belief systems. And with all that I learned and all that I read about weight loss, I was not able to apply any of it for a long enough period of time to release my body of the excess weight. And so apparently the God of Reason was not working for me. what I've come to discover through this amazing, miraculous 12-step program is that, you know, the God of reason is really based in fear. And my God, my higher power is based in love. And the 12 steps just so brilliantly weed out fear-based beliefs and actions and in a miraculous way so that I'm not directly working on it. It's just happening. And through doing the steps and through following the principles of the steps, you know, especially honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love, you know, all of them are so important. Through this, it's like the God consciousness is based in those principles. And that becomes more and more the guiding voice in my head. And my thoughts are based more in love versus fear. And so my alcoholic foods, the desire has been lifted because it no longer resonates with that state of that love consciousness within my being. It no longer is true for me. It no longer is who I am. It's like a shift in identity. And that is what has happened in my recovery. And I'm just like right on the brink. And this meeting is helping me tremendously. So I thank you for all your beautiful, heartful shares. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Beth P. in Hawaii. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Special welcome to newcomers. We have a chance to leave your number a little later on. And so we have time for, I think, maybe three shares, hopefully three shares.
Gabriel Hart.
Bruce.
Gabriel. Rosie F. Rosie F.
I heard Gabriel, Bruce, and Rosie. And hopefully we'll fit everybody in just great. So Gabriel, please share with us. And if you're not Gabriel, please press star one to mute your phone. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I can. Is this Gabriel?
Yes, here we go. I'm so glad I got to share because I have been so blessed by all these sharings today. It's so encouraging because the gist of what I hear is, you know, whether you're making it or not, whether you've arrived or not, whether you've achieved it or not, just hang in there because eventually everybody that just keeps coming is going to make it. It was like the apostles of Christ. They didn't understand anything, even how to love little children. These guys never did anything right. The only thing they ever did right is they kept getting up and following Jesus wherever he went. I said, you know, I've been a problem child my whole life. I was the kid that came home from kindergarten with a report card that said, doesn't play well with others. Then I got suspended from junior high school 56 times in 3 years. Finally, they threw me out of school, and I've just been a nightmare of a human being. But something happened when I finally did get to the experiencing God position, which so many people have talked about today. And for me especially, when it got to the personal sandals up on the dash of my car, hair flying out the window, talking with, laughing with, crying with, finally, I met somebody that I could tell them everything about me and never got that disgusted look of, oh, you make me sick. Then the healing began, and yet, you know, I'm still not there. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm just an imperfect human being that wants to do right, wants to experience abstinence, wants to do everything that I know I should do, and yet constantly failing. But discouragement doesn't get me down anymore. I just keep coming back to the meetings. I keep reading the big book. I keep talking to people on the phone. And no matter how bad it seems to get, life just keeps going on. And I'm encouraged. And I want to share that with everybody else that's struggling and thinking, oh, look, you know, I might as well give up. You know, I can see why it says don't give up. Just, you know, I got a friend that every time I talk to him, he's been doing this for 40-some years. And
Somehow we lost you, Gabriel. Star one. Star one to unmute, Gabriel. Gabriel, we lost you.
You say something?
Okay. Yes, Gabriel, we lost you.
Yeah.
Can you finish up your share?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was just saying that I'm just so thankful for the encouragement I always get just listening to everybody, and wanted to share that encouragement back, that no matter what or how much it seems like you're not making it or you're not achieving, that's not the focus. The focus is my friend of 40 years that's been in Narcotics Anonymous. He says, yeah, listen, brother, just keep coming back, just keep coming back. And I used to watch this guy for 20 years do nothing but fail. He'd be back on the drugs and back on the drugs. And I go, ah, what a joke, that whole Anonymous thing. And now he's traveling all around, holding meetings, playing his guitar, helping other people. And I said, you know, Don, you're right, brother. It's just keep coming back. Just keep walking with God. Keep doing the steps. Keep coming to the meetings. Just keep on keeping on. And it does work, no matter how bad you think or dark it appears to be. Just keep believing. Keep holding on there. The Wright brothers did get up in the air. That plane did leave the ground. And even though the whole world says, I don't believe it, I can believe it. And so I'm so thankful because these meetings always breathe life into me.
Thank you very much, Gabriel. Glad you were able to come back on and finish your share. Really appreciate that. Okay, Bruce E. is up next, followed by Rosie F. Please share with us.
Okay, yeah, Bruce E. And I am very, very encouraged and happy to be here. Wasn't near as encouraged when I first got on the line today as I am right now. It was all your voices, you know, that I'm hearing, and I'm encouraged. So I'm Bruce E. I'm a recovered addict in Southwest Florida, Hurricane Alley down here. And so in one way or another, we discovered that faith had been involved all along. Faith had been involved all the time. Well, you know, I grew up in a family in the Midwest, Rockford, Illinois, and my dad and my brother and I weren't religious, but my mom was, and we didn't see, you know, where, you know, how come she spends all her time, you know, going to church and doing this, doing that, and it's just a waste of time. So none of us accepted any of that for years and years and years. But my mom did, and my mom set the example to us. And so I was a sickly kid, you know, from toddler up through 10 or 11, I was very sick a lot, had asthma. And so I just isolated in my room, and, you know, I had, you know, a tropical fish, and I had shell and rock collection. I had all this collection, this and this and this. And I did all that stuff and just isolated. And didn't care about anything spiritual. You know, I cared less. I didn't even think about it. I didn't, that I know of. And well, time went on, right? And so I just believed in the God of reason. You know, I just, you know, whatever I thought or did or whatever, that was what was happening. And, you know, I didn't need anything else or think I needed anything else. And I did all along. And but I didn't think I did. And then finally, you know, after, you know, years of getting beat up by the world and, you know, all the things, you know, drugs and alcohol and all that, finally, I got myself down to a low enough point to where I had a spiritual experience in the, like Bill had in the hospital room. And, you know, I was changed, and I knew I was changed. It was what I've been looking for all the time, you know. And it was way beyond reason. You know, it was really a real tangible God, a real God, you know, that came into my life and changed me. And so then I did have to go through a long period of time, though, 25 years of just falling down on the food, you know, just failing on the food, failing on, you know, kept going, get a little abstinent and then, you know, fall down, you know, then get a little abstinent and then fail again. I went through that, finally got into vision, and man, this finally got recovered. You know, it just happened. So God, I really believe in the very start, even when I was that little sick little kid in a bedroom, you know, playing with this stuff. Yeah, thank you. I really think that God was involved in my life way back then in a strong way, but I just didn't know it. And then finally I came to the point where I could recognize it, which I do now. Thank you. And I just appreciate everybody. Thank you very much. Very encouraged. And I pass.
Thank you too, Brucey. And Rosie F., you'll be our final share for today. Please share with us.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for all your shares. And yeah, when I think about this paragraph and I think about the paragraph before, you know, for me, being brought up in a religious faith, you know, and getting all the information with catechism and all that stuff with the church, you know, it was like I basically mentally interpreted it all, you know. And as I got older, you know, and I ran from that particular organization, and I decided to get involved with a 12-step program, and you know, I still, you know, had that faith-based, you know, foundation, but it was just all intellectual, you know, and there was all that, like we talk about, I reasoned, and I didn't realize how sick I was spiritually and how sick I was mentally and physically in my disease. And so, you know, a sick mind can't help a sick mind. And all my reasoning and logic really, you know, seemed pretty logical, so to speak, but yet it only carried me, like it says in the book, so far. And so when I found the higher power of my own understanding and my personal relationship, and I started to surrender, you know, it was really hard because I would surrender, you know, I do that shuffle, you know, because I had all this still thinking and rational. And, you know, I went to college, you know, so I thought I was pretty smart, you know, that I could figure this all out. But I was always falling on my face, you know. And so recovery and vision and program, and I'm belong to two programs, and I need both of them because I need all the support I can get, but also all the reminders and connection with my higher power that I get in both programs that I always go back to. You know, I have a sponsor in the past that would have me, you know, I would talk to, and I want to have all the answers from her, you know, and all the answers of my thought process. And she would always say, be still and ask God. Go to God. Have you gone to God? Have you gone to God? And it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I need a live voice. I need a God with skin. And what I really needed is that I needed to go back to the higher power and to sit still and quiet. And, you know, when I surrender and let go all the things I think I know, you know, that set-aside prayer is wonderful. I can let that higher power come in and take over, because my logic, like I said, sick mind can't help a sick mind. My logic actually got me into my disease even farther. And so there is no reasoning with my mind. There's just surrender. So, and surrender to my higher power. And that is where I go. That's my go-to for today, and hopefully every day from now on. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rosie F., and everybody who has shared. What an awesome meeting. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Reggio please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Elaine, and everybody, for the great meeting this morning. My name is Reggio. I'm gratefully recovered in Texas, and here is a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.